So here's the big news. We got a news release from Mark Richardson's office, the prosecuting attorney down in Cole County. And the office has been provided information by the Missouri Attorney General's office about that agency's investigation into the governor's gubernatorial campaign. After due consideration, I have decided not to file the criminal charge suggested by the AGO. My office has no further comment on this matter.
Mark, what's your reaction? It seems to me like the helium has left this balloon.
Well, you know, I hope that the Missouri legislature gets that message. I mean, my feeling all along is that the governor was responsible for the fact that all of this attention was drawn to him to begin with, and that the charge leveled against him in St. Louis County was a politically based charge that ultimately fell apart because there was no evidence. But after that is when things got a little trickier. This morning I talked to Nick Schroer, as I know you have, and we talked again about what Section 7 of the Missouri Constitution calls for when it comes to impeachment. And it's pretty specific about what a sitting governor has to do, and almost all of it relates back to things that he's done while in office. Clearly, the criminal case in the city of St. Louis didn't speak to what he had done when he was in office. It was this, the use of this donor list that it would have addressed that. And Josh Hawley, who I plan to have on my show on Monday, is the one that referred that criminal charge to Cole County. That was truly going to complicate things for this governor had that charge been filed. Given the fact that it hasn't, still doesn't stop the Missouri legislature from examining that issue and determining that there are grounds to move forward with impeachment. I mean, I think the frustration is we're like, well, if a prosecutor looked at this and doesn't see grounds for criminal wrongdoing, why should the legislature be able to do that? But I believe there are a number of people in Jefferson City who believe they do have that, not only that power, but that responsibility to look at this separately.
Do you think that blanket statement, if Governor Greitens were a Democratic governor in California or a Democratic governor in New York or some, you know, a northeast state, do we even find out about any of this?
No, I don't think so. And Ed Dowd came on my show the other day and he pointed that out. And he goes, listen, I am a Democrat. but I can tell you one thing. If Governor Greitens was a Democrat, this charge never would have been filed by Kim Gardner to begin with. I think that, you know, Gardner smelled blood in the water. The difficulty here, Andy, and the question we're going to have to ask the Attorney General is that he referred both of these criminal charges. And in one case, the charge has been dropped. In the other case, the prosecutor in Cole County has declined to charge on that or act on it in any way. You know, I think a lot of people are going to be asking, and I think it's a fair question, as to whether or not, you know, Mr. Hawley got ahead of himself a little bit there. Maybe he's going to say, I followed my ethical duty as an attorney general. I saw potential criminal wrongdoing, and I forwarded it to the corresponding jurisdiction. That may well be his answer, but it's one that I'll ask him on Monday.
What time? Do you know what time you're having him on yet, or what hour?
I think we'll have him on the 8 o'clock hour. I think about 8:20 Monday morning we're supposed to have him on the air.
Yeah, we'll definitely want to follow that. He hasn't been available to answer a lot of political questions. He's been engaged a lot in his attorney general responsibilities, but a lot of people are wanting to ask him questions regarding his race to try to unseat Claire McCaskill in November. How do you feel that the unveiling of all of this information, these lack of charges, how do you think this is going to affect him in that primary?
Well, I think people are frustrated. You know, Austin Peterson was on my show this morning. He's being pretty upfront and pretty loud about demanding a primary debate, which hasn't happened yet, and he's taunting Josh Hawley to a large extent. You know, Josh Hawley has the He has the advantage of being the presumed candidate for the Republicans. And maybe he feels that, you know, he doesn't need to subject himself. He's probably got more to lose than anything by doing a primary debate. But what I'm hearing from people that are calling into my show is a sense of frustration that he hasn't been a more proactive candidate in this Senate race to date. And I think that's what he's got to battle. He's got to battle that perception that he hasn't been doing more. He was like that to an extent in the attorney general race. I mean, it kind of took him a little while to get rolling, so maybe that's all this is. I don't want to presume that it's not. But I do sense some frustration on the part of some folks who were already angry that there seemed to be a vendetta or a desire to impeach this governor no matter what. And for some of them, they see the referral of those potential criminal charges as sort of adding fuel to that fire. So I think that's what's motivated a lot of people.
Well, looking forward to listening to what Josh Hawley has to say for himself on Monday around the 8 o'clock hour on the Mark Cox Morning Show. So we'll be sure to tune in there. I wanted to ask you also about this MS-13 comment that President Trump weighed in on, referring to them as animals, and watching the left-wing media go bonkers over the possibility that he might have said that all undocumented immigrants or illegal aliens, or however you refer to them, are animals. I mean, is this just more of the same nonsense from the left? And do you think do you think that people are starting to see through it?
I think half the time that Nancy Pelosi opens her mouth, even she's not sure what's going to come out. I mean, Annie, I heard her this morning with the soundbite. It might have been from yesterday evening, where she referred to the fact that this president doesn't believe there's a spark of divinity in every human being. So I take that to mean that she thinks these MS-13 gang members who are known, as Tucker Carlson pointed out last night on Fox, to stab their victims multiple times, behead them. I mean, they are less, they're subhuman. You shouldn't glorify those folks any more than you would whoever commits a mass murder at a school or anyone else. I don't consider those people, they're animals. Why would you do something like that? Now, you might argue it's because of a mental illness or whatever. These people have joined a gang just as if it was the Bloods or the Crips or anything else. And once they cross the line into criminal behavior, they've chosen not to participate in our society anymore. They don't want to be part of our society. We played the full minute-plus clip this morning of his interaction with the reporters and the DHS secretary. It was very clear what he was referring to. MS-13, the gangs, the violence, the drugs, the human trafficking that they bring across the border. Jim Carafano this morning said that they're connected to a string of criminal activity that goes from Guatemala all the way up to Canada.
Ugh.
He said it's unbelievable what this one group of people is involved in. They're linked to other gangs. He said, you know, we've got a huge problem on the southern border, but a big part of that is not just immigration related, it's drugs and all kinds of other issues that this MS-13 gang's tied into. So, you know, long answer short, of course he didn't refer to every immigrant like that. This is not about immigration for conservatives. It's about illegal immigration, and it's about national security.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. And I was commenting about this is all about PR, and PR is an awful lot about words. And when you ask the Democrats about immigration, they use words like dreamers. And it's important for the Democrats to make sure that everybody thinks that Republicans, via the leader of the Republican Party right now, and President Trump, uses words like animals. And all of the facts behind what constitutes a dreamer, or how you get to be a dreamer, or once you are a dreamer, what the requirements are there, and all the facts on who was identified as an animal and what they've done to acquire that subhuman label of being an animal, that's all not important. And it's like, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. It's all PR. And I think that President Trump is indicative of a Americans seeing through that, at least in 2018.
Yeah, you're right. It is definitely PR. There's a group called America Voice or America's Voice or something like that. They have made the horrible mistake of adding me to their email distribution list, and this is a pro-illegal immigration group that sends out talking points for people every day who are fighting this fight to try to, for open borders. So I'm able to see pretty much on a daily basis the emails they're sending out, and they're absolutely trying to play up what the president said and try to twist his words and use it against him. Yeah. It is a PR offensive. And it is offensive, in my opinion.
I completely agree. Well, the Mark Cox Morning Show weekdays on FM News Talk 97.1 from 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. I love listening to you on the way into work every day. You're doing a great job. And I don't mind you waking me up every Friday morning at 7:10 a.m. to join your show. But yes, I do most of them while I'm still laying in bed.
I understand that, Annie. Thank you so much. And if I can just say one more time, good afternoon. I'm Jason Church.
Yes. Yes.
Yes, it is Jason Church Day here, and we are going to miss him dearly.
My friend Jason. Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Mark. We appreciate it. Care.